May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 668. Jehovah God, eternal Lord most high, permit a worm to bow before thy throne, a worm deserving endless misery, but pleads the blood that did for sin atone. Hymn 668.
Let us read together from Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, reading chapters 1 and 2. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapters 1 and 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words that which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to us and help us to pray. O kind and most merciful God, we come before thee, not trusting in ourselves. Thou knowest, Lord, how apprehensive we are concerning our own self, how oft we've proved to be a complete failure, and nothing more can we bring forth than this. Oh, how we ask of thee, Lord. Oh, there, where we have failed, thou might make up in giving according to our asking, as led by thy Holy Spirit. We ask thee, Lord, to separate us from all that is worldly and all that is carnal within ourselves. For surely we cannot reach out to any other to judge and assess things. But Lord, within our own heart we look, and what horrors, Lord, do surely fill our mind. And Lord, as oft we are brought to think on this, if in thy word I look, such darkness fills my mind. I only read a sealed book, and no relief can find. If I attempt to pray or lisp thy holy name, my thoughts are hurried soon away. I know not where I am. Myself can hardly bear this wretched heart of mine. How evil then it must appear to those pure eyes of thine. And so, Lord, we pray to thee, if there be others who feel of like mind and spirit this night, do come, we pray, and help us, and pour out a blessing for us, such a blessing that our poor vessels cannot hold it. For we're not sufficient, Lord, of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of thee. Thou surely strongly awakened us to the fact that time is past fleeing away. The number of our years seem to have melted away. We must surely stand on the verge of eternity. We know that our times are in thy hand, and all events at thy command. Nevertheless, Lord, oh, that we might be fitted and prepared over that certain and solemn change, that we might surely be found in thee, resting, relying on nothing else than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Remember, Lord, the gatherings of thy people here, and Lord, that thou might be with them in coming. Oh, drive out, Lord, from them every hindrance and everything that is unacceptable to thee. Oh, how we have to cry, create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. We ask, dear Lord, that thou wilt bless thy people with thy teaching, even that of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that they might know, they might understand those things which personally affect them, which they personally need. Lord, that which they personally cry to thee for. Lord, while thou art blessing others, do not pass them by. Oh, we ask that thou would not pass us by, but Lord, enrich us by thy grace. Remember such souls, Lord, who may be in deep trouble and in the sad persuasion that things about them are not as they would have them. Unable, Lord, to rearrange their lives and make things crooked straight and rough places plain. But Lord, our mercy is, thou canst do this. Thou canst work in us and for us too. Oh, how we plead with thee, Lord. Oh, that thou might make us walk in the straight and narrow way with a delight, yea, with a comfort, that we might know as walking with Jesus. And Lord, if intercepted at any time by evil powers and spirits, could we but say with the Apostle Paul, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We ask, dear Lord, that we may not give a space to suspicion and questioning for 1 minute, but rather, Lord, bid these cares be gone from us. Lord, we may not give them space and even the opportunity to press us down. Oh, thou knowest what a mighty foe we have, and how, Lord, he takes every opportunity to rob us of every little bit we have gathered. But Lord, we pray we might be true gleaners in the gospel field and real gatherers there. Oh, knowing from time to time those handfuls of purpose which are dropped even for us. Lord, how good and how merciful thou art. Thou knowest, Lord, every need and needs in life's journey. And who can we look to but thee? The gold and the silver are thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. None, Lord, can ask of thee too much or even too little. Surely Did not Peter seek earnestly that his liability to the tax gatherer may be met? Oh, it seemed but a little thing comparison to ours. But there it was found, under Jesus' direction, in the mouth of the fish that cometh up. These things do not happen by chance, but surely they are provided for us, that we might live honourably and acceptably before thee. We would in love remember the young and rising race, the difficulties that they are confronted with in finding suitable employment for them. Lord, we would command them today, thou who hast the key to open every door and to shut every door as needs be. Help them, Lord, to lay their burden before thee, guiding and directing them at school, in what examinations to take, and help them in it, Lord. Oh, Lord, that they may be raised up to be useful citizens in this world and in Zion. Lord, walk in honourably and acceptably, yea, for the good of this nation, but much more so for the good of Zion, thou might teach them how to follow in thy ways, that they may be true pillars in thy house, and a strength, Lord, to thy one church and people. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou bless them and give unto them, Lord, in life's journey, oh, those partners in holy matrimony, yea, to be their strength and comfort in the natural way. Some of us, Lord, can testify to the good, thy goodness to us in this. And Lord, oh, we pray to thee, oh, that we might ever cleave to the wife of our youth and care for them too. But Lord, oh, how we pray above all these things, that they may find a place, a delight, to be in the house of God. Lord, that they may come, yea, with gladness and a good heart through grace, yea, to their place here and elsewhere. O Lord, feed them, we pray, according to the appetite that thou might give to them. They may long for nothing more and less than the bread of heaven and the water of life open freely for poor sinners. We come, Lord, before thee this night, and help one to preach the everlasting gospel. Thou knowest, Lord, how dependent we are upon thee. Save us, Lord, from confusion. Grant us strength, Lord, to speak. And, O Lord, may our speaking, though it may be simplistic, as some men say, but nevertheless, oh, may it be fitted and prepared to them, oh, of the God of heaven, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, our difficulties. We ask, Lord, that thou give us sufficient breath and liberty in speaking. For, Lord, our trust, our hope, is all in thee and in thee alone. So, Lord, oh, remember us from heaven, thy dwelling place. Lead us, we pray, to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Grant to us, we pray, crumbs from our Master's table, or that we might feed freely upon that bread which cometh down from heaven, that we might discover the all-sufficiency that is found in thee and thee alone. Our Lord, hear us, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who lay at the point of death and in suffering. We ask thee, Lord, that in the last hours of this life, thou might remember them. Lord, that they may call upon thee in the day of trouble. They may be brought back again. Lord, to look down upon them, healing and restoring them. And we would especially remember, Lord, thy dear servant, John Brougham, as he lies now in deep affliction. Oh, nothing is too hard for thee. Thou canst heal him and raise him up again. But Lord, what can we say? Is this the time appointed? Thou wilt take him to thyself, which is far better. Oh, therefore, oh, may we be given that grace and that wisdom of Elisha, oh, to be subject to thy will, to take the master when thou dost think best. Now, Lord, be thou our keeper. Be thou our strength and portion. We pray thee. Yea, for we rely on thee and thee alone. So hear us now from heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, thou hast been our help. We pray thou be our helper still. Pardon and forgive all our sin and transgression. For we ask you in no other name than the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never. A wounded soul, and not a whole, becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
Thank you.
as the Lord might help me, I seek to direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the second verse. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The apostle, he would remind these Hebrews of the deep sufferings and sorrows of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also of the dear people who had gone before him. As we read through the 11th chapter, he puts it like this: we have a great cloud of witness in our deep sorrow and depression. Shall we despise the witness of God and those who've travelled on that journey to heaven, here below, suffering all manner of things and the persecution from Satan? For this one reason, the Lord Jesus Christ has loved them with an everlasting love and called them by his grace. So he speaks here of this great cloud of witness that we have also. Oh, for our comfort, and we might remember him and what had gone before him. I say, what does that mean to you? We find people very much moved and looking at what their forebears had done and what they suffered and what honours they had achieved in various departments in life, and especially in the armed forces. They lay much stress upon that. But I say, what do we lay upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy even unto us? As we've read in Corinthians, there's much disputation among men. Who may be the best? Who may be the worst? Who has achieved anything of himself? But that will not do, will it? If our hope and our desire is that we might truly be saved from our sins, pardoned and forgiven for all our transgressions, and more than that, be saved and spared in the future from the repetition of our past sins. Am I touching upon a raw nerve here? It certainly does with me. But it seems an awful thing, does it not, to be a backslider? Solemn indeed it is to be a backslider. And who can honestly say this night, I have not backslidden? Who can truly say, I will never backslide? except for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not looking unto Jesus, but for, is it not this, that thou, he may hold us up, as the psalmist has said, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Oh, how we need to be held up by him, and to be kept from our own self-opinion. That is a dreadful thing, is it not, to become self-opinionated? Quite a common phrase, is it not, to hear people say, I don't care what anybody else says, I'm going to do this or do that, even though they may surely be involved in sin and trespasses. Looking unto Jesus, friends, he is the only one that can keep us and hold us up. There's one thing I'm sure. There's nothing that has more power in life than love one to another. One thing we are sure of this. Oh, the power of the love of Christ will draw a poor sinner from afar, bring forth holy desires to keep from re-sinning against him who has loved us. Oh, looking unto Jesus, in seeing what he has done and what he has given to us, that good hope through grace that he has raised up within us, my friend, oh, to be looking. We cannot look to ourselves. We prove beyond all doubt that as far as the way of salvation is concerned, we prove to be complete failures. And perhaps those whom we have put our trust, they have forsaken us too and gone away from us. What can the poor sinner do? He's come down to bedrock bottom. He's got nothing. Nothing, my friends, but Jesus. Look in unto him. What a comfort that is. Though it may be our last hope, it is an all-sufficient hope. And why do we say that? Because all men fail and change with the passing of time. But well, we read and we find it true that I am the Lord thy God, and my friends, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Is that true? He hasn't consumed us. He may have chided with us. We've given him great reason to. He may have hidden his face from us for a season. But friends, if this is found in your heart tonight, yea, looking unto him that he might turn again and smile upon it, you haven't put that there yourself. It is Jesus that has done it. Jesus has done it. Do we not sometimes feel the heat of the sun before it appears before our eyes? So sometimes the Lord comes with warmth of mercy to us, raising up a good hope within. Why, he'll come again. He'll come again, not in judgment, but I say in mercy. Mercy. I say, looking unto Jesus, where else can we find mercy? Is this what you desire? Is this what you're looking for? Why, my friend, the Lord himself has put it there. And oh, you ought to love him for it. Is it true? Look in unto Jesus for mercy. How we feel more and more as we go on in life journey that we need more and more of his mercy. Yes, because we have re-offended. We are brought deeper into our own total depravity. We are brought deeper in to see the demand of God's most holy law. Oh, we can never supply one mite for it. But my friend Jesus Christ, he supplied all by looking unto Jesus. See him in Gethsemane as he draws closer and closer to the awful punishment of sin, not for himself, but in love to his people. As we often used to sing in the Sabbath school, he knew how wicked men had been and knew that God would punish sin. So out of pity, Jesus said he'd bear the punishment instead. Friend, oh, look in unto Jesus. Does it break thy poor heart when thou dost see him in such sufferings for you? Oh, see him there, praying to Almighty God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, the cup of bitterness, the cup indeed that should have been due to all the election of grace. There'd be no salvation for them but for it, as Jesus drinking it instead, bearing that punishment for them. Oh, looking unto Jesus. There is no other hope but in him and him alone. It's no good us looking indeed to the place where we worship with sentimental, carnal values, or to the people and status you associate with. Friends, there's only one place to look. If looking to anywhere else but Jesus, where should we be found and appear in that great judgment day? God who is true, God that never changes, will he not say to such, depart ye cursed, I never knew you? Friend, does that tear a hole within our heart as we come before him? Where must a sinner go? Where must I fly? What can I do? Lord, I am guilty. I am guilty. And the more we look to Jesus, we see how guilty we really are. Oh, looking unto him. What a mercy. What a wonder that is. Oh, that there all our sins were pardoned and forgiven. Yes, the cup that his father had given him, he drank it. Oh, looking unto him for the example of obedience. Looking unto him for the example of faithfulness. Friends, it must come from him and him alone. Many might speak indeed of the need of faith, and that it is up for us to believe and exercise faith. But I say, are we in that position where we find that to be as nitre in our wounds? Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. But the truth is, we cannot believe, because believing comes by hearing. And hearing, is it not by the grace of God? Oh, I say, looking unto Jesus, we shall surely behold this, that it is by his grace alone that we believe. Looking to him entirely is something very certain about that grace and teaching of Jesus. It shows us how wretched, how poor, how naked we are, so unfit to appear before God as we are by nature. Oh, but looking unto Jesus, he is the glorious bridegroom of the church. And surely he does give to his people that robe of righteousness that will never be devalued. It'll always be a perfect covering in standing before our Creator. We should never be found attempting to create our own covering like poor Adam and Eve did, sewing fig leaves together to make aprons. And why? Because when they sinned, they realized they were naked before God as sinners. And therefore there was a fear in their hearts. Oh, that this, he would show to them their emptiness. Friends, how we even see our own free will trying to be activated in our condemnation. My friend, oh, but look in unto Jesus. Why? For his free and his sovereign grace, poor sinner. Oh, that is where we would look indeed. Why? He will not leave thee, and he will not forsake that poor soul that is found there. There is a theme amongst some, I hope it's not within us, that we can look away from Jesus for the time being and look into the world to find joy and happiness and things to smother our sorrow. And then when the time comes, we'll be found looking unto Jesus. Do we not need to see the heavenly optician, all that our sight might be adjusted and rectified, all that we might see, all the need of that fullness instantaneously, if it is his will? Because who can tell that any one of us will ever have time to repent, even if we could? But again, we cannot. But what is repentance? Friend, it's a changing of heart, is it not? And that will necessitate looking unto Jesus and not unto this world to deliver us from our sorrow and grief, to protect us from the eternal judgment of God. My friend, oh, but looking unto him. I want to come now or the joys in looking unto him. For I do believe there is a joy. Oh, there is indeed in looking to him. Oh, when we see him and we behold him, we shall see that glory and beauty in him. How different is that from some within the world. But looking unto him, oh, to be our only hope. My hope to be found in him and nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That which he acclaimed and possessed by suffering in the sinner's place and stead. Why, in Gethsemane, my friend, he bore all for us. Why, it was in love and not in hatred. It was in love not to thrust us away, but rather that we might be with him through a never-ending eternity. I say, what a love that must have been. For the joy that was set before him. Friend, we might say of some, they're so good, they're so kind, I would do anything for them, anything that's within my power. But when it comes, I say, to sin, such as found in us, what an ugly scene there is of total depravity. We might say, how could he love one so hell-deserving as me? How could he indeed put forth his almighty hand and say, thus far and no further? When thy feet made haste to hell, looking away from Jesus, that he should come and turn a poor sinner round, that he might look the other way, looking unto Jesus. This one thing I am sure of, that it will bring repentance to your soul. What a needful thing repentance is. I preach repentance, friend, as is seen in the gospel and is declared by Jesus Christ. It's not a matter we can put away from us and say it's unneedful. Because Jesus has said, except ye repent and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into heaven. Oh, then what can we do? What can we do? Looking unto Jesus, as he calls us by his grace, we see in him a beauty and discover a love to us that we have never known before. Love, my friend, that brings out a desire in your soul, yea, to love him too. Great searching of heart from time to time, is there not? Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? My friend, oh, bless his dear name. If you have a real desire to love him and thus to forsake and leave the world and those things that you once so loved, my friend, this is true repentance. I say, oh, we can't have one foot in one place and another foot in the other. So often it is inferred when relatives talk of others who have passed away or are doing things contrary to the word of God. Oh, but they're real, they're good really. that their heart is in the right place. But you see, their feet aren't. Where your heart is, there will your feet be also. It is a myth, such sayings as this, that we can have our heart in one place and our feet in another. Surely we are in a perilous stage if we're walking in the way of the world and we want those worldly things and prefer worldly company. I know you. We have to live in the world, but friends, we need Jesus to keep us and to show us not to be of the world. Looking unto Jesus. Friends, it may be that we've fallen into shame of Jesus, that we've put our light under a bushel and will not declare who we are or what we are. Can it be that we are ashamed of him who has not been ashamed of us in preparing us and fitting us for heaven? All these that thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Friend, these who were once so black and so filthy, so determined, so rebellious, still I love them with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn them. My friend, look in unto Jesus. Why am I being drawn along this way? You may well say. Isn't it to this end that we might look to him? Look to him. Yes, that we might own him and confess him, whatever people might say or think of us. Oh, believe me, I'm no prime example of being faithful to my Lord and Master. It's a matter of deep concern to me. How can I speak to these people? How can I speak to that person? There's only one answer to it, and that is, you must be found looking unto Jesus. Oh, that the truth may speak of him, that we might testify of him. Oh, some people are very good at talking. It is good if we are, but with this proviso, are we good at walking? Are we good at walking? Oh, I say, do we set forth by our profession, our walk and conduct? Oh, good. And Nehemiah did, didn't he? In the hard days that he had to walk through. It is so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. I say, oh, the fear of the Lord, looking unto him. There is such a thing, you know, as a jealousy for his honour and glory. And that is not one might should be taken away from it or be left out. Oh, by saying, it's simply testifying of those things we've handled, tasted and felt, still looking unto Jesus. Are those things spoken of you in your state, in your condition, with regards to eternity? Some might say, how can I face it? It seems unfair that others should enjoy such liberty in life. They can do what they want. Oh, I say, sinner, if the Lord has drawn thee to himself to reimburse thee through such a closeness and nearness to him, what is it to compare with those things he has taken away from you? But what he takes away from us, he surely does reimburse from time to time with his presence and his love, as we are brought to look to him. I say, what a mercy to come to his feet, even like dear Mary did, yet and confess her sins before him. Oh, I say, do not expect to be admired by the world, or to be recompensed by their congratulations. It will not come, friends. And if it does, it's only guile. It's of nothing worth. But looking unto Jesus, my friends, or being drawn closer and nearer to him. See, I can't say a word. My friend, the Lord, he reads thy heart. He knows what you feel. There's that secret and sacred union to him for all that he has given to you. My friend, looking unto Jesus. You know, the thief on the cross, he was facing death and eternity. It would appear it was eternal condemnation to be spent into hell. And it was there on the cross in that place, as we might say, no time to spare, that he's found there talking to his colleague in crime whilst on the cross. He was still railing against the Lord Jesus Christ, like he had been a few minutes before. But now he was found looking unto Jesus. Blessed, gracious change that is wrought by him. Dost thou now fear God? What a question, I say, for everyone here this night. Dost thou fear God? So I can't answer that. Maybe said, I don't want to answer it either. But oh, this dear man said, dost thou not fear God? We indeed justly receive the true deserts of our sins. But this man, oh, what this man, what is he suffering for? Oh, what's he the pain that he is in, the grief that he bears, or the mockery that he is surrounded by, those who do not believe in him, indeed whose hate is very being. But my friend, this man has done nothing amiss. Looking unto Jesus, he beheld and saw such a glory and such a beauty. He could do nothing less and more than cry, God, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Then looking unto Jesus beyond this world, beyond the cross, but where the cross, I say, leads, a poor sinner to. He truly being made known to you as the door from death to eternal life. He declares he would gift it to his people. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. My friend, never perish. We may verily fear, why, one day I shall perish. One day I indeed shall be made known that I am an absolute hypocrite. My friend, save from being a hypocrite. becoming a true believer, I say, beholding Jesus in his sufferings. Heaven's greatest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name, looking unto Jesus. What a blessed place it is to come to be found looking unto Jesus. I was requested to go with a dear man to hospital, and in the transit he was in a dreadful place of mind, fearing he was lost. I'm lost, I'm lost. That's all he could say, I'm lost, I'm lost. You say, is that a child of God sunk there? But my friend, when by the blessed Spirit he was found looking unto Jesus, his repetition changed completely. For thou hast said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That word had been made such a blessing to him under the preaching of Mr. Wood at Cranbrook. My friend, and what a comfort it was to him on a dying bed. What a strength it was to him on a dying bed. What grace indeed it was kind to him, and precious faith exalted him. But he has said, not long ago, I was in the company, not involved really in it myself, but there was a discussion over the will of the deceased. And one and another said, they promised me this, and they promised me that, but they'd got no proof of such a promise. I say, what proof have we got? Yea, of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the payment, the debt for all our sins. For he has said, all thy sins are forgiven. Yes, he has said, thou shalt be with me in heaven. And I say, he has said, and he will fulfill it. It's a glorious word, you know, found in John's Gospel. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What a wonder that is. Come again. You may be feeling very low and say, will he come again? It seems such a long time since he did come. But if he has come, he'll come again and receive you unto himself. As I said recently, that Lord Jesus Christ is present at every sinner's deathbed. He's there, if nobody else, to carry them and take them to heaven, to be forever with him in glory. Then, my friends, we shall be looking unto Jesus without a veil between. We'll have a far better view than we've had before. We'll have a view of Jesus Christ that will not cast doubts and fears in your soul, but there to behold him as the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. There to behold him, to join with him in that everlasting song of the redeemed of the Lord. Still looking, friends, still looking unto Jesus, still testifying of his love. What a mercy. If the Lord so prepares us, We tasted that beforehand, whereby we are compelled to speak of his love and of his mercy, ever looking unto Jesus. Just a few words, Reggie, closing is this. You may have great concern about various things. Friends, we enable this to be about looking unto Jesus. Undertake for my poor soul, and for all my temporal affairs here below, while leaving all in his hands. As Paul said to the Philippians, bear careful for nothing. Not indifferent about these things, but I say looking unto Jesus. He can manage these things for me far better than I can myself. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with us ere we meet again. Now may the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.